Most people think, or many people at least, think of Canada and the United States as Christian countries, Christian nations, but it's simply not true. It's nowhere near the truth. Sociologists Christian Smith and Melinda Lundquist Denton wrote this very influential book, published in 2005, called Soul Searching, The Religious and Spiritual Lives of American Teenagers. And they interviewed 3,000 teenagers and asked them a number of questions, trying to understand the spiritual worldview of this emerging generation. And they found a certain set of beliefs that were common to most of them and make up what they identify as the religion of North America. And they call it moralistic therapeutic deism, which I'll explain in a sec. This is the real religion of North America, moralistic therapeutic deism. And the basic beliefs of it are a God exists who created and ordered the world and watches over human life on earth. God wants people to be good and nice and fair to each other as taught in the Bible and in most other world religions. The central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about yourself. God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life, except when God is needed to resolve a significant problem. And good people go to heaven when they die. For clarification, that is not the Christian faith. That is not the teaching of the Bible. That is what they call moralistic therapeutic deism, and it is what most North Americans believe. It's moralistic because it teaches that the central to it is that living a good and happy life is the goal. To live good, moral, to be a good and moral person, to do nice things, to do good things to others. It's moralism. Secondly, it's therapeutic. The goal of all this is to provide therapeutic benefit to the individual. It's about what feels good, about your wants and desires, about God meeting your needs and to receive, rather than about repentance, rather about sin, rather than about serving, rather than about worshiping God. And it's called deism because there's a creator God, but he's not particularly involved in the world. We don't have to relate to him directly or often, except in the most extreme circumstances, which is basically deism. So moralistic therapeutic deism. This is our culture. This is where we live. Be good and do nice things. God will see that you do nice things, and he will be pleased by your sincerity and your goodness. You'll feel good about yourself, and people, good people like you, will go to heaven when you die. Again, to clarify, this is not Christian faith. And yet this is what many people, maybe most people in our culture, believe. Today, I say this because today, in this passage, Jesus is confronted with an extremely important question, a question we should all be asking. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a crucial question. Unfortunately, many people don't ask it, but we should. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Moralistic therapeutic deism says, be a good person who's nice to others. So that's going to be the default response of our world. But Jesus is going to say something altogether different. He's going to say something very, very different. Jesus, in fact, is going to take our categories of what is good and completely shatter them. We need to re-examine and redefine what goodness even is and who falls into that category, okay? And so I want us to see how different Jesus' response is than what our default cultural response would be. So let's take a look to this great question and how Jesus responds. Verse 18, and a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Now, it's not that Jesus is objecting to being called good. Nor is he distinguishing himself from God. I'm not good and I'm not God. He's not saying those things. Don't call me good. I'm not good. He's not saying that. Jesus instead is bringing into question this man's very definition of goodness. The rich ruler thinks of Jesus as good, but as we'll see in a sec, he also sees himself as good. He sees a lot of people as good. He's good. He's a good man. Jesus is a good man, like he's a good man. And he's coming for affirmation of how good he is from this good teacher, and who's going to tell him that he's a good man. He deserves the kingdom of God. He believes himself to be good. He's done everything he's supposed to do. Yet he feels like something is lacking, which is why he comes with the question. He comes to Jesus to get Jesus' take. Well, am I missing something? I'm a good person who does good things. I've kept the rules. And yet I have this sense that there might be something else. Can you inform me? Can you affirm me? Can you affirm my goodness? See, when anyone lives like this, depending on their goodness, on their performance, on keeping the rules, there will always be this emptiness, this insecurity, a doubt. Am I really good enough? Have I really done enough? See, Jesus is going to challenge the question. Jesus is even going to challenge the man's categories of goodness. No one is good except God alone. That's a very key point. No one is good except God alone. Your whole concept of what constitutes good is off. You need to redefine your categories of good and align yourself with that which is truly good, which is only God. See, people will say, I'm a good person. It's not true. You're actually not a good person. No one can accurately be called good except for God alone. God is good. You are not. I'm not good. We fall into this thinking we're good people because we might be more moral than someone else. And good people like me deserve good things. I'm good and I deserve good to be done to me. You know, and we'd admit I'm not perfect, but I'm a good person. I don't know, is that like a B+ or something? However the grading system works. I'm not perfect, I'm good, but I'm a pretty good person. And, you know, people will even say, I hear people say, well, I'm a good person. I try and keep the Ten Commandments and do the right thing. But they just quote it as if they actually have thought about what the Ten Commandments are. I mean, the first one starts with to have no other gods, right? To only and always worship God and God alone. So there's number one, and no one keeps that. We've all exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images of created things. We've exchanged the truth for a lie, worship of God for worship of other things. We're already off to a bad start. That's commandment number one. We haven't even gotten to like Sabbath keeping and coveting yet, and we're not doing well. No one is good but God alone. And in this whole section that we're reading today, Jesus is working to shatter our categories of what goodness is, because most of us define good in such a way that most people fall into that category, or at least everyone we like. Me, my family, and my friends are all good. People who aren't like me, people who are like terrorists and mean people and people who like steal your parking spot,